today is an interesting message. It's one of those once in a lifetime messages, and I was talking to a few of them, people and saying, "Hey, this I can only preach this today. This is the only time I'll be able to preach this message." But I want to talk about 50 because tomorrow I'm turning 50. And I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking there is no way he could be 50. I thought he was much older than that. I understand. And the more that I come upon this 50th event in my life, the more I realize that, for the most part, this is a really depressing event. I mean, you know, you look at the things that happen, you know, the way that they decorate for 50th, you know, parties, and it's not primary colors, it's black, you know. You know, there's things like over the hill, right, okay, or under the hill, which is even worse, right, and it's, you know, it was really kind of a negative way, and then to make matters worse, I got a letter in the mail from ARP saying, "Your card's on the way." I'm like, oh my goodness. This whole thing is depressing. And then some friends of mine sent me this message, birthday message from Jesus. It says, "Happy 50th birthday. See you soon." I'm like, wow. Feeling the love, you know. It's so I was starting to get depressed and thinking about my limited years ahead. And my wife reminded me, she said, "You know, in Scripture, 50 is a celebratory year. 50 is a year of celebration." And I knew I had married the right lady. She's wise. She's insightful. Because in about 30 years, she's going to be 50. She's planning ahead. But she reminded me, 50 is this incredible celebratory year, that the year 50 was considered the year of jubilee, the year of restoration, the year when what was lost was returned, when what had been taken was restored, when what had been let go of was brought back home. It was an incredible, incredible time. So the main point of my message is this. I wrote it down. It's this. Hang on. Keep going way, 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 way back. To all you that borrowed my stuff through the years and didn't return it, I want it back. No, I'm kidding. The year of Jubilee was such an incredible, incredible year. Incredible event. And we find it in Scripture in the book of Leviticus. And some of you read Leviticus like a sleep aid, but it's actually a very interesting book. We find all kinds of incredible promises, all kinds of incredible principles. And in Leviticus chapter 25, here's what we begin to see, that Christ put, that God put into the essence this idea of this year of Jubilee, every 50th year. So consecrate the 50th year. Everyone say the 50th year. And proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee. Turn to somebody and smile and say, jubilee. Jubilee, it's a happy time. It's a blessed time. It's a wonderful time. It shall be a jubilee for you. Each of you is to return to your family property and to your own clan. And it goes on. There's another verse I want to bring out here, I think verse 13. In this year of Jubilee, everyone is to return to their own property. 50 was a number to celebrate. It was a time of joy. It was a time of celebration. It was a time of happiness. And the reason that God established this, the reason that God put this into place, is that he knew that mankind's nature would be in a struggle, that there would be a fight, there would be a battle to lose what had been given to them. That God knew that there would be a struggle to hold on to his promise, to hold on to freedom, and to ultimately hold on to identity. That God says, look, I've given you a land of promise. I've given you a promised land, but yet I know there are going to be things in your life that are going to cause you to let go of that which I've given you. That I brought you out of Egypt and I've given you freedom, but yet I know there are going to be circumstances in your life that are going to cause you to lose that freedom. I've given you this wonderful identity of my people, of a blessed people, and yet I know that there are going to be circumstances and situations in your life that are going to cause you to lose sight of that. And because of that, I want to put into a place a provision based upon God's laws, God's ways, that allows that to be restored. And here is why this time was such a blessed time, which it was such an exciting time. Because that which God had given, that land of promise and freedom and of identity, throughout the years there were situations and problems and fights and all kinds of circumstances that caused those to be lost. And sometimes those things were lost, not even by the person's own decision, but maybe a family member. Can you imagine what it would have been like that to come home as a child and to have, you know, mom stand up and say, you know what, dad's made some bad decisions and now we're no longer free. You know, I know that we had once experienced freedom, but because of some of the decisions that dad had made or mom had made or a family member had made, now all of a sudden, now you are going to be sold into slavery. You are going to lose the freedoms that is yours. And it's not fair. It wasn't your fault. But yet you are carrying the weight of that. And how much more would the anticipation of what this wonderful event would mean? You know what? It wasn't my fault. But there's coming a time where I can be free again. There's coming a time when that which I remember, that moment that I thought was long gone, that God put into place, that I can find freedom again. And maybe it wasn't by your particular choice. Maybe it was by force. It was an action of a family member or an accident or a tragic situation. But again, forced away from property, forced away from land, forced away from that which they had been given. And now it is gone. But I'm looking forward to this time. I'm looking forward to this. Would you think anyone in their right mind would not want to take advantage of this? Like, you've been in slavery, and now you get to be free. Nah. Do you understand why this was such a year of jubilee? Why this was such a celebration? Why there was just such this overwhelming experience of, like, I was lost, and now I'm found, that God put into this place. Other times, it was by their own decision, that they had been given something of value, and they had traded it for something that they deemed more valuable in the moment and had lost inheritance, had lost property that was theirs, had lost things that were precious and timeless that God had given. And because of decisions, because of circumstance, because of whatever, they had traded what was God's gift for something else. And they had lost it. And yet God had put into place the ability for that to be restored. What a celebration that would be. What a joyous experience that would be. To have those things that we think are out of our grasp and out of reach and out of things that we thought were long gone, to be returned. How wonderful. How wonderful. Because here's the thing in our life, and we look at this in the Old Testament, and yet nothing's really changed today. That God knew that there would be a struggle for us to hold on to his promise, to hold on to his freedom, to hold on to his identity. And that really is the story of sin, isn't it? How sin takes those things that God has given us, those promises, those wonderful gifts, that freedom, that identity, and how sin tears that away, sometimes not even by our own choice. Situations that we face, circumstances that happen to us, not even our own decision oftentimes. Maybe it's someone else. Maybe it's an action that it's against you, and it is broken you and has wounded you, and you bear the weight of what someone else has done to you or against you. Innocence lost, hope lost, identity lost. And you say, it's not fair. It wasn't my choice. And yet that is the nature of sin, and we see it again and again and again, and you've carried the weight of that. You've carried the pain of that. Carried the suffering of that. Other times it's our own fault, it's our own decision, that in the moment we're trying to find something for pleasure in the moment, and we trade things, and we take things that are precious, and we trade them for something in the moment, only to be left with emptiness. Only to be left with things that we realize don't really matter. Things that we thought so important, and we traded things that were timeless and precious. We traded values, we traded morals, we crossed lines, and now we have to deal with the aftermath, and the problem is, and the frustration is, we really can't blame anybody else but ourselves. What was I thinking? And we find ourselves at a loss. We find ourselves with hurt. We find ourselves with an emptiness. We find ourselves with that wanting to go back. And that's why looking back can be hard sometimes. We're going back and we're looking at some old pictures and going through some old things. And that can be so hard, because when we look at the way things used to be, it can be difficult. You look at little pictures of you, you know, as a kid, it's like, oh, I was so innocent. I didn't have the weight that I'm carrying now. I didn't have the issues that I'm carrying now. I didn't have the struggles that I'm carrying now. I didn't have this circumstance on my life. And it's almost painful to look, because of what has been taken, what has been stolen, what has been broken, what has been part of our life. And we wish... Wouldn't it be great if that year of Jubilee still existed? Wouldn't it be great if they're, you know, hey, it's his 50th birthday party. Guess what? We get to have all that stuff back again. But the truth is we go day by day by day, and we struggle with it. We wrestle with it. We carry it. But what if there was a way back? What if there was an opportunity that God says, you know what? It's part of my plan. Then what if God's plan was always for restoration? What if there was a way to restore joy again? What if there was a way to restore peace again? What if there was a way to restore self-worth again? What if that calling that God had placed on your life years ago and you'd walked away from, what if there was a way back? What if there was an opportunity? Wouldn't that be a reason to celebrate? Wouldn't that be a reason to say, I'm all in? If God has something like that for me, I'm all in. Because I've given up hope on so many of that. I thought it was over. I thought I just have to live the rest of my life carrying this. I had to live my life dealing with this. I thought it was too late. But what if there was hope? What if there was a way back? Wouldn't that be worth your time today? Wouldn't that be worth something pursuing? You see, here's the thing. When we look in Scripture, the same God that said, hey, 50 is a year, is a number to celebrate, it says put into this year of Jubilee, says that is the nature of what God is all about. God is a God of restoration. As we read through Scripture after Scripture, we see a God that his plan was always to restore. His plan was always to rebuild. His plan was always to make a way. And saying that, I know that sin is going to be a part of your life, but I don't want it to be the end story. I don't want it to be the end of it, that I want to make things new. And we read about the plan that God has put into place. We read about how he works things together and puts things together. And that is the nature of God. When Jesus appears on the scene, he quotes from Isaiah, and as Isaiah 61, he says this, the Lord God has put his spirit in me because the Lord has appointed me to tell the good news to the poor. Those of you that have lost those things that were precious, there's good news. There's good news. He has sent me to comfort those whose hearts are broken. Some of you know exactly what this is, that you've had to deal with this. You've struggled with this. You know what it's like to have a heart that's broken. And yet Jesus appears on the scene and says, hang on, I've sent to come comfort you. That's not the end of it. That's not the end story. He says, to tell the captives that they are free. This is what Jesus is quoting. He says, this is my mission. This is the purpose. This is God's plan after all. That it's not just the end all, but there is a time of restoration. It is what God intended to do from the beginning. It says, those that are captive, those that have felt so hopeless, those that have felt that their life has them captive and they can't make it, either addictions or feelings or behaviors or whatever it is. He says, tell the captives that they are free and tell the prisoners that they are released. And this is what Jesus quoted. He says, hey, this is my mission. This is my purpose. This is why I came. Those of you that seem like the story's over, no, it's not over. There's a day of jubilee coming. There's a day of celebration coming. That God's plan was always restoration. We get a little snapshot. We get a little idea of what it was in the Old Testament. This year of jubilee, this 50-year period. He says there's something special about that. 50 is a year to celebrate. 50 is a number to celebrate. It represents something powerful. And he says, just as back then, it was a type, it was a shadow, an indication of what was to come, because God's plan is always about restoration. Jesus says, this is my mission. This is how it works. And we read throughout the scriptures that is the story. That is the story, that Christ came and he went to Calvary and he paid the price for us to be restored. He paid the price to make the difference. He says, look, what I'm coming to do is to bring restoration, but I know that there's a price, and I'll go to Calvary. I will pay so that you can find redemption. You can find restoration. But it was more than just an event. Calvary happened. But we read in Scripture that Calvary is more than just history. It was never something to be looked at from a distance. But God's plan was always, I want to make this personal. This is personal. Just as on the year of Jubilee, it wasn't something that you just celebrated for somebody else. He says, I want you to find restoration. I want you to find freedom. I want you to find hope. I think it's so beautiful how Scripture works together in perfect harmony. Because 50 days after Calvary, on a day that literally means 50, a little event happened. The day of Pentecost, where Calvary became personal. And a day of restoration and new birth began to happen in a group of people that said, we want something more. We need something for ourselves. And don't miss the symbology here. Don't miss the perfect symbology. He says that on Pentecost, he says, look, here's what Pentecost is all about. It's a time where we repent and God forgives all of the weight, all of the sin, all of the heaviness, all of the things that you thought had been taken, all of the things that you had carried the weight for. On a Pentecost experience, we say, God, can you restore me? And he says, today is your day of celebration. Today is your day of jubilee, because what I did on Calvary becomes personal today. This is your day. You don't have to carry this any longer. The joy that had been taken from you is going to be restored. The peace that you thought was so elusive, you can find again. And the Bible talks about the joy and the peace and the refreshing that comes from repentance. It's part of the Pentecostal experience. That's why we come and you see people coming to an altar and lifting hands and saying, God, would you forgive me? And there's such joy on their face. That's why you see people crying at an altar. Why? It's emotional. It's powerful. Can you imagine on that year of Jubilee, those people that had been in slavery, those people that had been held captive, and that clock ticks around, and even though they didn't have ticking hands on their clock, but you know what I'm talking about, that sun rose on that morning, and what was happening, I would imagine there would have been some tears. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. And God says, look, that's been my plan all along. That's what I still do today. What sin has taken, you can find freedom again. And again, that's why we celebrate. That's why there's tears. It's like, I've been forgiven. I find peace. The weight that I've carried, I've taken it to a Savior and saying, God, would you forgive me? And God says, yes. That's why I went to Calvary. That's been my plan all along. Jubilee. That's why we get celebration. That's why we celebrate. Pentecost is about repentance. Pentecost is about baptism. Baptism, what a beautiful thing. What a beautiful thing. It's when God washes away the sin on our life and he applies his name upon our life. We talked about it last week. He says, you're mine. You're mine. You're mine. That when I see you, we talked about this even a couple of weeks ago. Remember, I had a big whiteboard up here. I was writing sins and it was quiet in here. Oh, it was really quiet in here. Just writing stuff on the board. And we talked about how forgiveness, when we repent, God crosses those off and says, you don't owe me. And baptism erases it. It says, I don't even remember it. Oh, so beautiful. So powerful. So miraculous. Miraculous. And Pentecost is about God's Spirit coming in and living in us. He's saying, look, I want to do more than just erase everything. I want to replace it with love, with joy, with peace, all of the fruits of the Spirit that we talk about. He's like, I'm going to take residence in your heart. I'm going to give you those things that you lack. I will make a powerful difference. That's why when people receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, what are they doing? They're smiling. It's crazy. They may be crying and they get done and it's like, just this beaming smile. Why? It's Jubilee. It's restoration. It's hope. It's the restoration of things that we thought we could never experience again. How beautiful. How lovely. And it is God's plan all along. And that's why we celebrate. That's why we celebrate. 2 Corinthians says it this way, the writer, he's talking about this experience. He says, if anyone belongs to Christ, there is a new creation. Turn to somebody and say, I'm a new creation. I'm a new creation. The old things have gone. Everything. Oh, I love that word. Everything. I mean, all that rotten stuff? Yeah. I mean, all the stuff that I did and I even knew it was wrong? Yeah. I mean, all the stuff I did on purpose? Yeah. All the stuff that was done against me? Yeah. All the stuff that was done by accident? Yeah. Everything is made new. And he goes on. The rest of this passage is so beautiful. He says, all this is from God. You didn't have to earn it. You didn't have to do anything to it. It is this wonderful gift from God. It's been God's plan from the beginning. Through Christ, God made peace between us and himself. And God gave us the work of telling everyone about the peace we can have with him. If you've experienced this, do you know what your job is? Tell somebody else. Tell somebody else. How many know at least one person that's messed up? Other than yourself, how many know one person that's at least messed up? Yeah, absolutely. That needs hope, that's going through a situation, that's going through a trial, that's going through a time in life where there's a struggle. Do you know what God has called you to do? If you've experienced this for yourself, if you know the joy that I'm talking about, do you know what your role is? You go tell somebody else, hey, you know what? I know a place where you can find hope. I know a place where you can find peace again in your life. I know you're going through a hard time right now, but I've discovered something for myself that has made all the difference, and I would love for you to experience it. There's hope. You can have a time of jubilee in your life. You can have restoration in your life. You can have peace again. You can have joy again. You can have freedom again. That's what God says. Look, here's what I've called you to do. He goes on, next verse. He says this, God was in Christ making peace between the world and himself in Christ. God did not hold the world guilty of its sins. How many are so glad that God doesn't hold us guilty? But he says, I forgive, I forgive, I forgive. And he gave us this message of peace. I love this next verse, verse 20. Look, it says, so we have been sent to speak for Christ. It as if God is calling to you through us. God's called you to be a minister. Turn to somebody, tell them you get to preach next week. Maybe some interesting sermons. Because here's the thing, God has done so many great things. Now, I'm kidding, you don't have to preach next week, but look at what he's saying. That God is saying, share. Share this wonderful gift because we live in a world that is so broken, that is so hurt, that is battling with so much. We cross by people all the time that you begin to hear their story and they begin to pour out themselves. And it's like, oh my goodness, what sin has done, what sin has wrought. And God is saying, look, you have been given this message of peace. You've been given this message of hope. So we speak for Christ when we beg you to be at peace with God. That God has made this available for you. That God wants to restore you. That God wants to continually. And it's not a one-time experience. How many would agree that after you became a Christian, you have sinned? Anybody here? Those of you that didn't raise your hands, now you can raise your hand. Because here's the thing. What is so incredible about God's mercy is that it continues. It continues. He says, I know you're gonna keep fighting with this. I know that there's something in you, as long as you are part of this world, that there is gonna be a battle to lose that freedom, to lose that gift, to lose what I've given you. And so my mercies are new every day. That this doesn't have to be a 50-year wait. It now is available anytime you call upon me. Anytime that you ask me to forgive, I forgive. Anytime you ask me to renew, I renew. Anytime that you ask me again into your heart, I come back again. That's the kind of God, because I am a God about restoration. I am a God that wants to complete the good work I started in you. And that's why we celebrate. That's why we celebrate. And that's what God has been doing around here. Just amazing things. I'll just throw up that picture from last Sunday. I love this. This is so cool. This was awesome, man. I was joking a little bit Wednesday. I think we set a world record for the world's longest baptisms. It was awesome. They didn't want to get out of there. And that's fine. You know why? Because they realized the power of what was happening in their life. I'm glad to see Jim here, because otherwise I think he still might have been downstairs. He was just there. But you know what was so beautiful? Here's this guy who could break me in half. I mean, he is a strong individual. But there was a melting, and he was just weeping. I love it when strong men cry in the presence of God. You know what that recognizes? That, you know, I'm strong, but I recognize there's a stronger one that loves me. There's a greater one that is greater. And they just sat there, and they just, that presence of God, that something changed, that everything I've ever done wrong, that Kenda was there, and just this smile, and yet there's tears and smile, because what has happened? That God has restored, that God has forgiven, that this is a day of jubilee. That this is a day of celebration. That I have have been set free. I've been released. That what Jesus said when he quoted Isaiah is true for me. That I was held captive. But a God that loved me came in and said, no longer, you're free. That I was held in bondage. But there's a God that went to Calvary that stepped into my life and said, no longer, you're set free. You're free. And what a blessing. What an awesome, awesome, awesome thing. And yeah, there's celebration. Yeah, we get emotional. Yeah, we cry and sometimes we dance and we get celebration. We just celebrate. We're people. We're all Italian when it comes to God, right? We just, yeah. Why? Because we understand. Here's the thing. You see people, don't you ever judge somebody that's worshiping because you don't know their story. You don't know their story. We've had people here at this altar saying, if you knew their story, we've had people that had been sold into prostitution. Understand what I'm saying? People here whose story, horrible, horrible situation, come to an altar and God redeems and restores and makes new. And here they are, they're worshiping and celebrating and they're getting a little bit excited. And there would be something that's like, oh, well, they just need to quiet it down a little bit. Oh, wait a second. You don't understand their story. You don't understand what God is doing. The pain that they carried since childhood has been lifted and now they feel loved for the first time. And they walk out here with this incredible smile on their face. People that were about ready to take their life, saying, this is it, it's over. I'm going to commit suicide. There's no hope. Come to an altar and God redeem us. And don't you dare. You're precious. You're special. You're mine. I died for you so that you don't have to. I died for you to let you know how precious you are. And there they are. They're crying at an altar. That's why I love church. That's why I love what happens here. Not because of any of us. We can't do any of it. But we found a God that loves us no matter what. Then when we come to him, God says, this has been my plan from the start. I want to restore. I want to bring joy back. I want to bring hope back. I want to bring peace back. I've got a calling for you. I've got a purpose for you. You're not too far gone. You haven't run too far. You're not out of my reach. I am here for you. This is your day of jubilee. If you would accept what God is offering and say, God, forgive. God, wash. God, fill. God, renew. You're finding God. He says, that's been my purpose from the start. That's why we celebrate. 2 weeks ago, two people here received the Holy Ghost for the very first time. And I love what she said. God had just filled her so beautifully. And she looked up and she said, I didn't realize it was for me. I didn't realize that this was for me. And I'm so glad that it is. How beautiful. How beautiful. A life that had heard of the great things that God has, but lived in a way that didn't think it was for her. And yet to find on that celebration day, wait a second, Jesus died for me. God's Spirit is for me. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. That's the purpose of a church. I mean, it's not to have a beautiful building. Lord knows. Be careful when you go downstairs tonight. We got water in the basement. It's not because we're so eloquent. That's not going to happen. But the reason we're here is to introduce people to a day of jubilee, a day of restoration. Not because of us, but we found a Savior that still does the work, that still makes the difference. Lamentations says it this way. I love this. I'm closing with this verse. It says, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. That our sin, we should be consumed. We're that bad. Our sin is that wrong. We're that in need that we should be consumed. But yet, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because of his compassions. Because his compassions fail not. You know what that means? That God never gives up on you. Turn to somebody and tell them that. God never gives up on you. Can I be honest? And can you be honest? How many have ever felt that God has given up on them? Felt, you know what, I've been too bad, too wrong, too out of God's will. I've sinned too much. I must have crossed the line someplace. Oh, wait a second. You know what that is? That's a lie. That's somebody trying to steal your identity. Wait a second. You need to understand. His compassions fail not. I love this. They are new every morning. You know what that means today? You woke up, God says, I got all brand new love. I've got all brand new mercy. I've got all brand new. Everything that you need for today is brand new. Here's the thing. He says, I want to make you new, and I've got new mercies, new joy, new peace, new love, new compassion, new calling, new blessing, new opportunity. God says, that's just the kind of God I am. You were guilty, and I'm not going to find you guilty. You were full of sin. He says, but because of my grace, I can see you as being sinless when you come into my presence, that my compassion for you never gives up, and my mercies, my love, my kindness, my everything for you is new every single day. What hope, what an experience, what opportunity. God's saying, it's yours. Is yours. Now let me just say this today, and I'm closing with this. Why would you not want that experience? Why wouldn't you want that experience? What in us would fight against that kind of love? What in us would fight against that kind of joy or freedom or release from all of the things that we've been carrying? What in this? But I know this, there's a battle. And as we would look at someone else's life, and maybe from that Old Testament perspective, we would walk in and say, hey, you've been held captive for years and years and years, but today you're set free. And they would go, I don't know. I don't know. No, wait a second. You're set free. You don't have to be in prison any longer. The door's open. Just walk on out. I don't know. We would look at them and say, what is wrong? You're not thinking right. You're not looking at it right. You don't understand. But yet here we are today. And in just a moment, we're closing prayer and just have an opportunity for you to find exactly what we're talking about. And yet I know that there's a fight in our hearts to say, I don't know. And yet, I know that in a room this side, that at least one of you left World War III this morning. That at least one of you have had a horrible week. That you're carrying stuff. That you're battling with stuff. That you're being held captive. There are things in your life that you feel like you're a prisoner of. And it may have been a decision that you made, and it may have been a decision that was made against you, but whatever it is, you've been carrying the weight of it, and you brought it in here, and you were hoping to find a release. And here in a moment, God is saying, won't you come and find a place to pray and just pour it out? And yet I know that there's a pushback. But here's what I'd say. It's your day. This is your day. This is the day that you can find peace. That there's a Savior that says, you're free. Come to me. There's hope. Come to me. That if you'd be willing to take a step of faith and as you're ready to close in prayer, just, and you find a place to pray, maybe it's up here at an altar where you just come down and say, God, I need forgiven. God, here's my mess. And you begin to pour it out. Say, God, will you forgive me? What you'll find is forgiveness. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, what we've been talking about and showing in Scripture, you can find that. Every sin washed away. If you've never allowed God's Spirit to fill your heart, to take residence in your heart, to say, you know, I want to be with you every single day and change you, bless you. You can find that today. It's for you because God loves you. God loves your mess. God loves you in spite of all the things that you've ever said, things you've ever done. All the times when you could have and should have known better. The times when you felt hurt. The times when you felt so alone. Times when you felt like God's abandoned me. You understand that God's always loved you. God's always reaching, and he's reaching this morning. He's reaching this morning. This can be your day of jubilee. Turning point. Changing point. Freedom. Promise. Identity. That's what God's speaking. Can we stand?